Never Alone is the name of the book. Lisa Lindley is the author. She's on the line from her home near St. Louis. She says her home is inhabited by demons, evil ones. Linda, do you remember the day it clicked in your mind that these weren't ghosts, but actually demons? These are devil creatures.
I totally remember when that was. The first indication was the night my daughter was thrown across her room into some furniture, and that was right after my first book came out. And I'm not a professional writer. It just was something that kind of came up. I don't want people to think that we're just trying to sell books. It's just a way to reach people with what, you know, our family's been through and how we can help somebody else. But it was just a couple days after that, and I thought, I wonder if something got angry that we went public with this information, you know, something in the house, because you're revealing things that maybe they don't want other people to know. And it just after that point, things took a turn for the worse, because shortly thereafter, the night we left on August 11th of 2007 and came back, that's when the entity that was in the trench coat with the hat spoke to my daughter and said, "I know you can see me. Why don't you just admit it?" And then that was when everything took the nosedive for the worst. And it just says, how can you wrap your mind around this? It's very hard to do that. I mean, some days I keep thinking, you know, I know we're going through this, but when you try to explain it to people, you know, you wonder what people are thinking about it. But all I know is, you know.
So in other words, you weren't a particularly religious family, so the other side, the demons, they weren't trying to, you know, destroy your faith, that you could tell. I'm still amazed about why they picked you, and you've already told me you don't have a clue. Or do you?
The date, I don't have a clue, but now my husband and I have talked about it a lot, and he was a very difficult person to reach, I think, on a lot of levels with this situation. And our family now, I mean, we're very bonded in our faith and our family together and things that we do to get through this. And I think they were trying to use him in this situation, or maybe God was trying to use him to get through to us, you know, for his purpose, I guess, you know, to bring us closer to him and to be trusting.
So you find some religious significance in all of this?
Not really religion per se with, like, you know, breaking up Catholic and Baptist and all these religions, but just having a personal relationship with God that we can count on in times of trouble. There are so many scriptures you can read about leaning on him for that. And the reason I guess we're doing that for the most part is that, you know, in the Bible, I guess it talks about demons and angels. A lot of people will say they believe in one or the other, but demons, basically, they say, what is a demon? It's basically a fallen angel, one that was kicked out in the first place. You know, the whole story, if you read in the beginning how that all happened. And they hate mankind. They do not like us. They do not want anyone to have a personal relationship with God. And we did, like you said, we weren't like really going to church. We weren't doing anything. But when we got this wake-up call, we had to come together and go, as a family, what are we going to do to get through this? So every time an attack happens, and we do know when they're coming on, someone asked me about that. I said, yes, I do know when an attack is happening. We immediately get together as a family, and hopefully we're all together in the same place at the same time, and we just pray and we ask for help. But New Year's Eve of this year, 2007 going into 2008, we had a major attack at the house for 2 hours. We spent trying to pray this out, and finally, you know, we just had to say, God, send us an army of angels. Send us someone to help us with this.
Has anyone seen the good guys?
My daughter has. The night we were praying in my son's bedroom, she said, Mom, there's hundreds of them. She could see them coming. The atmosphere in the house shifts. You know, this is a good way to explain it. When demons are attacking, when the demons are attacking, and you can feel it coming on, kind of like somebody that's getting a migraine headache, they usually get, you know, precursor signs that, oh, the lights bother me, the sounds and all this. A very sick feeling, dark, heavy presence will come over. You can feel it, especially I can and my daughter. And then shortly thereafter, she may see one of them, and especially in the upstairs part of the house is where we see these things. And when a full attack is underway, I mean, these things will curse at us, even if you mention, you know, you hear in the movies, especially, my kids have never seen movies, I've seen a few, but they say they don't like the name of God mentioned, they, you know, hiss and curse and all this kind of thing. They do not like it when you do this. And, I mean, they've said verbally, well, if we can't get you, this is to my daughter on the last time, because she said, I am not following you, we are sticking with God, you know, you verbally just declare where your faith is at. they said, we're not going to get you them, we're going to go after, we're going to get the girl, referring to my three-year-old daughter. They make threats like this, you know, just to try to scare and bully and
all
of
that. I mean, what are they asking you to do? I mean, you know, what is it that you would have to do to make them happy?
You know, I don't know. And this is what the confusing part about our story is, that it continues. It's like, it's just like having someone in your home that doesn't belong here. And when they can't scare you enough to either leave or to turn and start doing other things, I guess, they come back with reinforcements. They come back with more. They try new things. Sometimes attacks will be okay for about a month, and then we'll get another one. But there's always a presence here.
Are these seven that you described earlier, can you tell their sex?
My daughter says they're male, and on, I guess, three different occasions, they have actually given names. They will identify, my husband will say, who are you? He can't see them.
Really? What kind of names?
They have said Xavier is one name, Alphonse is the ringleader, and Samael, I don't even know how you spell it, and the curiosity got the best of me. I went on the internet and just typed in demonic names. There was like a list of demonic names, and Samael is on there, and I don't know if there was any other one, but the last attack we had, my daughter said it was a little, it appeared to be a little childlike demon. It was a little girl with, she said her eyes were red, and her name was Molly, and she just tells it like it is when she's seeing them. You know, my husband will say, what do they look like? What are they saying? And he will get right in
their face. So how old is Molly?
My daughter said she was younger, or appeared to be. I'm not saying it's the truth, you know, about what these are, because they can do whatever they want. But she said appeared to be a childlike ghost. So it's not one of the seven, but the seven, we know for sure we have an Alphonse and an Xavier. And I don't know what significance it is, and these things lie, and they're very deceitful.
Did you ever try to record their voices?
No, and you know what? That's why I called the Todd friend of mine that does the EVPs, and I had to ask about this, and I did in the previous house, and he did not think it was a good idea with what we were dealing with to try to do that. However, we have video recorded. Like one night, I had too much of everything that was going on, and I said, I'm going to set up the video camera with the night shot in the spare bedroom, and I set the camera up. And I was scared while I was doing it, but I thought, I'm going to do it anyway and try to beat these things and be braver. And I said, okay, the camera's on. I'm leaving the room. Come out wherever you are. Come out and play. You know, rest the room. And the next morning, my husband got up, and he said that on the video, in like 3 and 5 minute intervals at the beginning of the tape, and I saw it, you could actually see, well, what they call an orb, like a ball of light, with the absolute direction shooting up toward the staircase. We had a ladder that was like in the room, and it was right by there. I mean, it was pretty amazing. I mean, it's not just that, you know that you see something and you can believe it, but it's just what happened to us. I can't dismiss it, and it keeps happening, the things that are happening to us with these attacks, you know. And I can't explain.
When's the most recent event you've had?
Well, it happened to me personally, and I wish it wouldn't have, but do you ever have a dream where you think you're having a dream, but you're not sure you are? You think maybe it's a real thing. And in our house, I try not to dismiss things, because most of the time it's
real. As I get older and concentrate on my dreams, I seem to be able to remember them a little better. So I know what you're talking about.
Well, considering, you know, the things that we have going on that we try not to talk about a whole lot with too many people, because you go at the risk of people calling you, you know, crazy. I had been awakened about 2 o'clock in the morning and looked over at my clock, and I was just on edge big time. And what happened was, you know, they talk about demons and can they hurt people, you know, physically attack. And I know from my daughter that she had been attacked before, was being thrown across the room. But this entity, I it was almost like I sort of heard it, but I didn't hear it. And I sensed it all at the same time. It was like a big mixed jumble of emotions, that it was going to claw me, tear me up, and kill me in the back. I mean, it was going to physically claw me. And I woke up, and I was so scared, and I said to my husband, I said, are you awake? And he wasn't. Of course, I'll roll back and go back to sleep. And then probably, I kept laying there, and like 5 minutes later, I heard the doorknob on our door. We had the door shut. Like somebody tried to jiggle it 3 different times, and our doorknobs are really loud. They're like these old, original, you know, doorknobs. And I woke him up, and I was like, please go check out and make sure nobody is in the house. But I knew it wasn't. But then I lay there, and I thought, these things are trying to go after me now. Can they really do this? And then people were saying, well, if your faith is strong, God will not allow you to be attacked. But you know, it was all too real that night. I knew it wasn't a dream. I mean, that was just about a week or so ago that that happened to me, and I thought, okay, you know, you got to change your frame of thinking, and you have to realize that, you know, you're bigger than they are, and they're just bullies, and you keep trying to talk yourself into this. But that's probably, I mean, a direct type of attack, but it's just always something being there that shouldn't have been there. Even last night, I mean, there was something in my daughter's room. I could feel it, and you have to go right past her room to get down to the staircase to go downstairs. And I just walked past the room, and it was just like every hair in my body stood completely up. And so, you know, I don't know what they want. They just keep going after us, and we're not inviting it in. We're not doing anything but standing our ground with our faith and just, you know, praying about it. But I get the comments from people all the time, you know, why don't you bring in a witch? Why don't you do this and that? But, you know, none of that is going to solve this. I think this is a more rooted kind of situation that it's not giving up, and I don't know what it wants. But we're not meant to know that yet, I guess, you know, for having to keep going through this. But, you know, we're positive we will be victorious in the end, one way or the other. But in the meantime, we just have to take it a day at a time. And we're hoping we can move, you know, just to get away from the renovations. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but, you know, my kids will never sleep upstairs. They're always afraid. And it's just a terrible way to live, having your children, you know, be fearful and trying to fix that, you know. It's a little tough.
Yeah, I understand. We'll be back to wrap this up in a moment. Don't go away. Just wanted to take a short break to remind everybody to check out our website, jerrypippin.com. It's a Mass Appeal broadcast site. Everything's on demand. Everything's a podcast. Also, Windows Media downloads. JerryPippin.com, P-I-P-P-I-N, P as in Paul, all one word. Check me out, JerryPippin.com, P as in podcast. Welcome back to the Parazone, Tales of High Strangeness. Lisa Lindley is our guest. A haunted house, the demons drove them away, they decided to come back. You're not going to go away, are you? You're not going to let these demons win.
No, they're not. We've said that aloud in the house. You know, we're not going there. You're not going to win. But, you know, we didn't have any training for that.
Well, you know, on one hand, it's kind of outlandish that you're thinking that way. In another way, hand, it's quite logical. And the reason I think it's logical is you had the entities at the other house. You have them at this house. If you move to a third house, what makes you think you wouldn't have them there?
Exactly. You know, my husband and I have talked about that in detail, but our house, when we bought it, it was a shell. You know, it needed a lot of work. And we're really exhausted by this. We don't need this much space. And so for just the sanity of not doing renovations, that's why we really want to move. But as far as, you know, getting away from it, you can't. And I didn't want to say on the air our house is up for sale, but it is. We had it up a couple months ago and had a buyer for it, and then we had some things on our end we needed to figure out before we could actually go through with it, so we backed out. And we have it up again, and it's, you know, it's not, you can't run from it. It's totally the main thing people need to know. This stuff is real.
Well, when you sell a house and you move to the third house, you need to let me know.
Yeah. Well, let's all hope it doesn't happen, but, you know, if they're determined that they're not going to give up, they're not going to give up. It's going to follow us anyway. But like I said, for cheaper electric bills, it would be smart to move. So, you know, that's kind of why we're wanting to do that.
So basically, the ghost or entities or whatever you saw in the first house were more or less benign, just bad images, spooky images or whatever. And then in this house, they've been downright belligerent.
Right. Well, it was kind of like a build of, how are you going to get to know what
do you think they're connected?
Yeah, well, no, and we talked about that too. What we have over here is completely different. And when we bought this house, I asked my husband, no, really, I begged him. I said, you know, he had more time than I did during the day, and I said, please make sure this wasn't an old funeral home. Make sure no violent deaths had occurred, because the former owner of the other place had shot herself in our master bedroom. So you're thinking, oh, violent death. There was no sign of anything. And when I came over here, I kind of felt a little off, you know, some kind of feeling.
Well, you'd think psychologically all you've been through, you'd probably be a little wary of any place.
Kind of, but you have to, your brain learns to kind of turn certain things off so you can have an objective opinion about something. It's the human thing, you know. And it didn't feel like it felt at the other house. And every house is going to have some kind of feeling about it. But when you go from our house over to, like, someone else's house that doesn't have anything like this, you totally notice a different atmosphere.
Have you told your neighbors?
You know, we live in a little town, so I think some people know history about the house from previous people that lived here or certain things, but we really maintain a low profile. I mean, between family and friends, they know the whole story, but no.
So when you moved in there, you didn't notice some sly looks from the neighbors saying, aha, suckers, are they going to be in for a shock?
House needed so much work, yeah, but, you know, really, I don't think anybody really knew a whole lot of anything. You know, we had some people volunteer information, but it was nothing like, you know, anything having to do with a story like this. And for the sake of my kids, I mean, my older one is high school now. My little one, well, he's not so little, he's 9. When things happen, we say, please do not say anything to anybody about this.
Do you know if your daughters visited with her best friends? You know, teenagers say I have best friends, and they talk about all kinds of things.
Well, if you know, you know, a little bit here and there about the story, because a few of them have had experiences at the house, like one of her really good friends. You know, she needed somebody to lean on besides us when this was happening at the school, when the 7 showed up at the school. And the girl that spent the night here said that she felt somebody touching her head, you know, in the middle of the night, and she just knew something was up. But, you know, a lot of kids, unfortunately, at our expense, they will look at this and go, oh, that's so cool, you know, I'd love to live in a house like that. Really, you don't want to do that. It's just, you know, we don't watch scary movies over here. We don't do that. We're very picky about what we expose ourselves to, because, you know, scary stuff is everywhere.
Have you ever had any certain type of music playing on the radio or on a a CD player or something, the ghost act up? In other words, music soothes a savage beast. I wonder if it soothes demons. Maybe the next time you see one of these, you need to put on a little Monavani or something.
Yeah, somebody was kind of kidding with me one day, and they said, oh, you know, a friend of ours had a problem in their house, and they got the Bible on CD, and they were playing it in boomboxes throughout their house. But it really, I only listen now to, like, a Christian radio station. They have, like, you know, contemporary music,
sure.
And they sing that at our church, and
yeah.
So I like it. And it's, like, positive reinforcement. It's like you have to take the junk out of your head that's in there. Like, because I used to watch my favorite shows, honestly, were A Haunting and, you know, all the shows that are on, like, sci-fi at 1 o'clock in the afternoon,
sure.
Like, you know, this time. And, you know, I had to say, no, you know, this is all too real. This family is not going to contribute to that. You know, we don't rent those movies. I've only seen a couple movies, and, you know, when you're referring to The Exorcist, I've never seen that movie, and I probably don't need to, but you hear stories about things. But we're trying not to, you know, expose ourselves to certain things, like Halloween, like I said, took on an entirely different meaning. I couldn't even put my little flag out last year that I usually put out, and I was like, okay, I can't do this. I wrote about it in the first book. I had a flag. I thought it was really cool. It had a haunted house, a little ghost coming out of it. I'm like, are you kidding me? I cannot put this out on my porch. You know, it was like no decorating, no nothing. But now I'm to the point that I think that since I understand what's going on, maybe I can have a little more fun subtly this year with that. But it just amazes me at how the industry has made so much money off of, you know, these scary stories. And, you know, our story's, like, real, and it's just amazing how Hollywood twists the truth, and then they make it difficult for people that really do have things going on. It's not always pictures flying across the room or, you know, black muck coming up in your toilet or hidden red rooms in the basement. You know, it's like our family doesn't have that, but we have something far worse that's a, you know, very real thing. It's a big
deal. Did your daughter say what she was doing or saying when they picked her up and threw her across the room?
Yeah, well, we were watching a movie. We were actually watching RV, you know, with Robin Williams, a real funny movie downstairs, and she just went up. It was about 9 o'clock at night. They were getting ready for bed. Walked into her room, and she has our old queen-size bed up in her room, and there's, like, a ceiling fan above the bed, and she had left the light off, so when you flip the main switch, you know, it will come on, and she went to climb up on the bed, and something threw her across the room into the dresser, I mean, like, 4 feet across the room, and I heard this big crash, and she was crying. She was sitting on the floor, and everything that was on her dresser was thrown onto the floor. It just got wiped completely off. I don't know specifically from the fall or something was mad, and I said, what is going on? Because, you know, I wasn't thinking paranormal attack, nothing's going on. and went up there, and she's sitting there crying. She said, "Mom, something pushed me, threw me across the room into my dresser." Okay, what do you say to that? You know, I just went, you know, mom mode here. Did you fall? Or did you trip? Did you drop something? No, mom. And she looked at me with these weepy eyes that I just knew that something wasn't right. And, you know, that point on from there, that's when it got interactive. Interactive is the best word, and that's why I keep using it. You know, it wasn't making conversation with us. It wasn't getting physical. It wasn't getting violent. And it was like just all of a sudden that light switch got flipped on for whatever reason, and our family got thrown into a whole new way of life, if you want to put it that way.
So you really don't see any way to coexist with these demons. You more or less are drawing the line, throwing down the gauntlet.
You know what? Coexist, it's like, it makes me a little hyper. I'm hyper by nature, but, you know, they don't belong here in our house. This is our house. You know, you can claim your home back, but that's easy to say. Like, right now, it's daylight out, and when nighttime comes, I'm not going to feel so brave about it. But the only way we can, I guess, share the space, if that's a good way to put it, is that, you know, just to keep doing the faith thing, you know, praying about it and just saying, look, you know, when an attack happens, that's what our family gears up for. You'd think these things would give up if they don't like that kind of thing. Why do they keep going after it? What is it about our family that they think...
Maybe they're just as determined as you are.
Boy, that's not good, butting heads like that, you know, for us. But, you know, it is an energy drain. It really is. The house itself is an energy drain. And so, I don't know. I think it's a big lesson that our family is learning, and we're just the pawns in this experiment. I hate to say it, but it's a good descriptive term for you, you know? It's kind of like a game, and all the little pieces are there, but we're not sure what the objective is.
Okay, our time is up, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much for having me. I hope that we shed a little light for someone on the subject.
Lisa Lindley has been our guest. The books, she has three of them actually. Two of them are Never Alone, One Family's Hope for Finding Peace While Living with the Paranormal, and Never Alone, A Journey Home. This has been a tale of high strangeness. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Jane Swartley was our production director and web producer. Thank you for listening. Cheers.